now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour number two of Sports Daily on this Friday. Tommy Castor, Brandon Zinner in for Jacob Albrocht. Max Power producing the program. Our thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee this morning, providing us the great coffee every single morning here at the Odyssey Studios. We appreciate them and keeping us fueled up and caffeinated every single day here on Sports Daily. We're joined right now by our buddy Jay Delling out at the Heritage Classic, Rolling Hills Country Club. Jay, round number one in the books. It was a beautiful day yesterday for golf and a little cooler today. Might get a little bit of rain, you know, as it kind of rolls through. Certainly doesn't feel like the Heritage Classic from a year ago when temperatures were over 100 degrees.
It feels like opening Friday of high school football.
It does. It does. A little chill in the air out there, for sure.
There's a lot of chill in the air, and it's sprinkling out here now. I think we're going to get some weather that's going to come in right around lunchtime. But as long as there's no electricity in it, the players will play through it. But, yeah, yesterday, as you said, we had perfect weather. You know, the kind of weather that Mr. Zinner over here loves to play in. You know, he's kind of a fair weather golfer. So he's if he had a tee time today,
I'm the opposite. I will be out walking at 10 o'clock when it's 100 degrees out there. You put me in any weather, I'll play golf. Not well, but I'll play golf.
That's what I like about you. But no, we had a great first round. Conditions were really soft yesterday because we had some rain, about a half inch of rain come in on Tuesday night. So the golf course was soft. The temperatures in the morning were actually cool. Maybe not quite as cool as it is this morning, but it was in the upper 50s. And so scoring wasn't as low as we generally see it, but the cream rises to the top. And Haley Jones, who tops the point list on the Annika Women's All-Pro Tour, leads after the first round after shooting a 5-under par 67. There's a fivesome at 3-under, so Jones has a two-shot lead entering today. She played in the morning yesterday, so she's going to play potentially in the inclement weather this afternoon. So those players who played yesterday afternoon are playing this morning. And if somebody can get a low round going, it could pose some difficulties for players that are playing this afternoon.
Haley Jones is the only player on the Annika Tour this season with multiple wins. Of course, Haley Cooper, who won the tournament last year, had multiple wins on the tour as well. You mentioned the 5-under round. She bogeyed a par 5. I was looking at your notes yesterday that no player in the field had a bogey-free round. And so even though the course was a little bit soft, there were certainly still some challenging holes for some of these players out there.
Yeah, for Haley, I think the most challenging part of yesterday's round was her what would be her conversation with her grandma last night, because her grandma said the thing she hates most about golf is when her granddaughter makes bogeys on par 5. She was joking with me about that. She bogeyed a par 5. Actually, so did Sadie Engelman, who's one of the five at 3-under par. And Sadie Engelman is 12. So she has a lot at stake this week, too. But, no, Haley Jones has been just an example of excellence this year on the Annika Women's All-Pro Tour. She leads the tour in top tens with 7. She's made 11 cuts out of 12 tournaments. She's won twice. She leads the tour in stroke average. I mean, she's done everything right. She's got a solid, solid game. T.D. Green, the players that I talk to say that Haley Jones is prepared to go to that next step, that next level, that next step, the LPGA Tour, as anybody on this tour. And she's just such a delight to be around. And so it's hard not to root for her. And as I told her yesterday, I said, well, you know, we got another Haley at the top of the leaderboard here in Wichita at Rolling Hills, the birthplace of the LPGA. And she kind of laughed. She said, yeah, that's true. Maybe that'll be my lucky charm.
Jake, can you talk about just what you feel in the air out there? Is it energy? Is it tense? Is it pressure? Because you have some of the best golfers in the world all gathering, and they're playing for the most amount of money that they're going to be playing for on this tour all year long.
Great point. And yes, because they are very aware that they're playing for a big purse. A typical purse on this tour is somewhere between $60,000 and $80,000, with about $10,000 going to the winner. This week, the total purse is $100,000, $20,000 going to the winner. A lot of other things at stake too, because, you know, they're playing for points. This is the Tour Championship. This is the last event of the year. They're playing for positioning on how LPGA qualifying school is going to be. The top five point earners after this week will get exempt into the second stage of qualifying, so they won't have to go through stage one. And the top 20 actually get their Q school fees waived. So there's so much, and that's a cost of about $6,000. So there's just a lot at stake for these ladies playing this week. It's the Tour Championship, and they've been grinding all week. They know that there's a lot at stake.
Let's talk about the fan experience and the weather for this weekend, Jay. It's going to be gorgeous this weekend, it looks like, with temperatures in the low 70s. We heard the story yesterday when you were on with us that TJ Cleland told about how our buddy Brandon had to carry around a camera for like, what, 4 or 5 hours last year in 105-degree heat out at that tournament.
With,
and all
a,
that.
With a backpack on. Yeah, I've never slept so good in my life as I did after that.
So it's going to be a much better weekend weather-wise, it looks like. And the fan experience has stepped up quite a bit too.
Yeah, it really is. And the thing about this tournament, guys, is it doesn't cost a penny to come and watch these elite players. And keep in mind, you know, because people have been asking me all week, you know, what caliber are these players at? Very similar to the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour. So just to give you a little background, Marielle Galdiano won this event in 2022. She's now on the LPGA Tour. Gerlene Kaur won this event in 2023. She is now on the LPGA Tour. Haley Cooper won last year. She now sits 10th in points on the Epson Tour, which will automatically get her an LPGA Tour card. So this tour has that next level of elite women golfers. And when you look at the scores, you know, yesterday's first round score is the highest score in the first round in the history of this tournament. And 67 is nothing to sneeze at. 3 years ago, the leading score is 64. The year after that, it was 65. And last year, I think it was 66. So these ladies can absolutely play this game at a high level. We're seeing a lot. So there's a lot of 21, 22-year-old on this tour. You see these players as college All-Americans, right, just a year or two ago. So just elite players, and they're just the most pleasant golfers to be around. It's been a real joy so far this week.
We can't forget about the fact that Sunday, the final round, Annika Sorenstam herself will be on site, which is just that's huge. I mean, I can't even express how awesome it's going to be to have arguably the greatest female golfer of all time on site at Rolling Hills Country Club to celebrate the winner, to talk to media, talk about the impact of her tour, of this tournament, of Rolling Hills Country Club, all of that. That's going to be monumental.
And we've been talking to her entourage, and this is how Annika feels. So when she's going to be on property, I think by about 11:30, and so she's going to meet with some key sponsors. She's going to do media. And then in her words, she said, I want to spend the majority of the time out with my players. She takes great pride. I mean, the tour is named after, right? The Annika Women's All-Pro Tour. She takes great pride in these young players because she got very fortunate because when she played at Arizona State, she got right on the LPGA Tour. I mean, she's a generational player, right? But she understands the world of golf on the women's end, and she is so thrilled to be a part of a developmental tour like this one. And she researched it in depth, and kudos go to Gary DiSerrano, who's the founder of this tour, and he's got a really good relationship with Annika. I look forward to meeting her on Sunday, and it's just going to be a great weekend. And Sunday night, we know we're going to have a great champion, and a lot of people are going to be here. We had great attendance yesterday on a Thursday. We had no idea what was going to happen. We've got new hospitality chalets, and so there's a lot of opportunities to watch these unbelievable women play golf.
It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a great weekend. Hope everything goes well, and we appreciate you coming on and talking about the Heritage Classic, Jay.
Hey, thanks, guys. You guys do an awesome job. Keep up the good work.
There goes Jay Delling from the Heritage Classic. We are up against it on the other side of the timeout. We'll do our Friday football picks. The whole crew's going to be in. That's coming up on the other side at Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
For some picks destined to fail, it's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily on KFH. Tommy Caster, Brandon Zinner in for Jacob Albrecht, Paul Savage to my right, Max Power producing the show, joined by TJ Cleland on our video stream. We've got the entire crew in. We got to get a little bit of housekeeping done, though, before we get into this. So the rest of this hour, we're going to do our Friday football picks. We're going to talk some high school football a little bit later on in the show. We're also going to talk about the big college games coming up this weekend as well. That's all what's on tap. It's brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company with WBC Delano's debut brew, Hatfield's Mama, a German Kolsch with a clean, crisp character that's smooth and refreshing. Make history with Hatfield's Mama, Wichita Brewing Company, Delano's debut brew, available at all WBC brew pubs. It's pizza and beer made here. All right, fellas, we're going to get into the picks this weekend. Before we get into that, though, I have to shout out our buddy Brandon. 0-6.
What did I ever do to you, Tommy? 0-6.
That's uncalled for.
0-6.
That's uncalled for.
It might be a fact, but come on. You can't come from behind if you don't start behind.
0-6. I'm just going to keep saying 0-6 over and over and over again.
What did I do last week? I didn't hear.
I think you were 3 and 3 in the first week. And 0-6, I believe. I don't know. Or 3 and 4.
I think TJ can attest to us. I don't even know if these stats are correct. I mean, these stats are all over the place.
We're just rolling by Paul's rules at this point.
Is that a pitching wedge in your hand on your balcony?
Hey, I thought it was pretty clear.
Sandwich. Oh, my bad.
I like it.
I'm confused.
TJ, on the other hand.
By the way, that job's open to anybody that wants to do it. I didn't know.
Well, no, you're doing a great job.
Yeah,
Paul.
That's
you're
what
doing,
I figured.
You're doing the job.
You're doing a great job.
A job.
Yeah.
Brandon, we'll see if I come to your 0-6 defense anymore.
I'm not asking for it.
Brandon was 0-6. TJ was 1-5 on the week. Paul was 3-3. I was also 3-3. Jacob was 4-2 on last week's picks. Let's get right into it because we've got a full slate of college games. We've got a full slate of NFL games. And boys, we're going to start on the college front. Michigan at OU. It's the only top 25 matchup in college football of the weekend. OU is a 4.5-point favorite in this game. TJ, let's start with you. What do you like in this one?
I like Michigan. I think Bryce Underwood is really, really good. Watching the highlights of that last game, obviously they're playing New Mexico, but take it for what it's worth. But the fact just watching those highlights is like, man, this kid is going to be a baller. I think he's going to have a big breakout game, and a lot of people are going to know his name if they didn't know him already. For the casuals out there, give me Michigan. They're covering them good.
Brandon, how about you?
Well, TJ went 1-5 last week. Let's not overlook that, guys. Come on.
I said that. I said he went 1-5.
I blacked out after you said I went 0-6. Now, Bryce Underwood did look great last week, but also we saw a lot of the situation that Bryce Underwood is in this league, a young quarterback going on the road, hostile environment, one of the best defenses in college football, Oklahoma. I like the Sooners to cover the spread this week. I think they get it done at home.
Paul, how about you?
You know, something about OU when they play at home. I'm not confident on Michigan yet. We'll see how things go. Both these teams have potential. But, you know, Texas is getting a lot of play. A lot of Oklahoma people are going, what's all this talk about Texas? I mean, Archman, come on, give us a break. And so there's a lot of pent-up, you know, whatever it is with Oklahoma. I know Brandon took Oklahoma, and it gives me pause to take Oklahoma. But I think I'll go ahead and take Oklahoma.
Right. You would have picked Oklahoma if I wouldn't be after you. What's the matter?
I love it. Okay. Jacob, who is not here today, I've got his picks, though. And
There's no way he picks Oklahoma.
He's also taking Oklahoma in this game.
Yeah, Texas guy.
He's taking OU and laying the 4.5. So we've got the three of you on OU. TJ is on Michigan. Sorry, TJ, I'm not going to give you an island. I'm also taking Michigan. I think it's pretty remarkable that, you know, they go from the situation that they had a season ago and it obviously coming off of the national championship and Jim Harbaugh leaving, and it didn't really go their way last season. But Sherrone Moore is rebuilding this program. I like Bryce Underwood as well. I'm going to take the points on the road. I think it'll be a tight game, but I ultimately think Michigan will cover that spread. So we have three on OU and two on Michigan. Let's get to our in-state games. Fellas, it was a weird and odd game last weekend at the Bill in Manhattan as K-State narrowly escapes North Dakota. That was a game that I know a lot of us, I don't remember exactly who, I guess I could look and see who picked North Dakota to cover. So Paul, myself, and Jacob picked North Dakota to cover. So we won that game. Brandon and TJ picked K-State to cover at that minus 27. Obviously, that didn't happen
stupid.
At all. Right now, we've got the K-State game. They're laying 17.5. against an Army team that lost to an FCS team in Tarleton State a week ago. Brandon, let's start with you. Do you think K-State can rebound and get that done?
Spoiler alert, I might not pick this Cats team to cover a spread the rest of the year. 31-14 is going to be the score. The Cats win, but they don't cover. They only won by 17.
You got Army, huh? How about that?
Army to cover.
Yeah.
Paul, they might win. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
They might.
It's a triple option team that Army runs, and you know, I know one of the big criticisms of K-State coming off of the North Dakota game is that I heard it from Chris Klieman a few different times. The eye discipline for Kansas State defensively was really, really poor. You've got to have good eye discipline if you're taking on a triple option team. What do you think?
Well, the number one thing you do, just for anybody's knowledge, the first thing you got to do if you're going to face a triple option team, you got to take care of dive. Can't take care of dive, you can't win the game. You just can't stop it. You got to take care of dive. I think KU can take care of
it. You mean K-State?
I mean K-State. I think K-State will take care of the dive. They're good enough that they can do that. Fellas, I've always loved the service academies. I've loved Army, Navy, Air Force. I love those guys because they're good.
Then pick them.
Well, hold on just a second. But Army's bad. Yeah. Army is not good. You lose to Tarleton State, you know, out of Texas. You know, most people aren't even familiar with Tarleton State. I mean,
Did you say Tarleton State?
Yeah, it's Tarleton State.
Tarleton.
That's what I said.
Stephenville, Texas. Let's go.
Yeah. But anyway, so they're not good. So with that being said, I'm gonna take K-State to cover. Now, am I confident? No.
I mean, clearly, most people are not familiar with Tarleton State. I think more people probably know Tarleton State, though.
Oh,
Jacob's pick. He's actually tailing. He's tailing Paul on this. He's got K-State to bounce back and cover that 17.5. I mean, look, like the K-State team, they've got to be angry. They've got to be upset. They've got to be frustrated. All the different things with what happened over the weekend. I think they'll bounce back, but I think 17.5 is a ton. I'm going to take Army to cover that. I'm joining Brandon on this. It's 2-2, TJ. What do you think? Are you going K-State and laying the points, or are you taking Army to cover?
Well, first of all, I would have picked North Dakota if I would have known they had this star wide receiver on their team. His name was Owen. I can't remember his last name, though, but I think it was Owen 6. That's a bad joke. I'm taking Army in this one. I think it's going to be like a one-touchdown game. I'm not a believer right now. Avery's going to have to run for 200 yards if they want to cover the spread, and I don't think that K-State's comfortable with that right now, so give me Army to cover.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being a two-touchdown game, but even then, that's not enough to cover that 17.5-point spread. So we've got TJ, Brandon, and myself on Army. We've got Jacob and Paul on K-State and laying those points. Boys, this is the big, big, big matchup from the weekend for us. The border war, the border showdown, it's been forever since these two teams have played. A hostile environment for the Jayhawks going to Columbia. Brandon, you'll be there covering the game for 12 News. Jayhawks and Tigers, they hate each other. And this line is interesting. When I pulled it last night, I don't know if it's changed this morning, but KU, they were 6.5-point dogs on the road. So it's within a touchdown. That's a tough spread to pick. Paul, we'll start with you. Do you think the Jayhawks can cover that 6.5, or will Missouri win by more than a touchdown?
It is a tough place to play, and I can attest to the fact because I've done it. I've played in Faroe Field, and it is not an easy place to play. I really mean that. However, by the way, what's wrong with saying the athletic directors of these schools say forever and ever, these two teams are going to play football every fall. We don't care what's going on. But we are going to play. That needs to be done. That is a rivalry that needs to be played year in and year out. So with that being said, it's a tough game to pick because that 6.5 points really makes you want to take KU. And you know something? I think I will take KU.
You're going to take the Jayhawks.
You know something? Something tells me, don't do it, Paul. Do not do. In fact, I'm kind of listening right now. I can almost switch back. No, I said KU. I'm going to take KU. I don't know that that's right, but something tells me this might be a better KU team than I'm thinking they're going to be. I'll go with KU.
Jacob disagrees with you. He's taken Missouri and laying those points. So he thinks that Missouri will win by at least a touchdown or more at home against the Jayhawks. What's really difficult with this game for me is that KU has played Fresno State and Wagner, and they've looked really good in both of those games, especially offensively. Jalen Daniels looks phenomenal. But it's Fresno State and Wagner. This is the first.
Mizzou's played Central Arkansas.
Yeah, this is the first real competition for, honestly, either one of these teams, but especially for the Jayhawks. That being said, though, I can't, in good faith, take Missouri. It makes me nauseous. It makes me sick to my stomach to pick the Tigers. So, Paul, I'm gonna join you. I have no logical basis for this, other than the fact that I would probably be disowned if I picked the Tigers.
I'm going to
take KU, and I'm going to take those points.
I thought I might be on an island. I thought you just go. Yep. I think
Jacob might be on an Jacob island. Might we'll
be.
See.
TJ, how about you? What do you like?
There is no way. I'm with you, Tommy. I was born and raised in Kansas. There's no chance. KU could be getting favored by 50 points, and I'd still pick KU in this game. I have to pick the Jayhawks, not alone as a fact. I think the Fresno State game, you can take a little bit more away from that. I think the KU is actually a really good team. I think they're going to go into Columbia. They're going to get the job done. Give me the Jayhawks.
All right. Rocking the Lee Corso on the video stream. Rocking the Jayhawks helmet there. Brandon, how about you?
Yeah, I think this is going to be excellent. It's a shame that College Game Day is not here.
I know.
We have the great rivalry of Oklahoma-Michigan getting College Game Day. Give me a joke. Come on. This should be it's going to be a great game. I think KU is going to do just enough to keep it close. I have a feeling we're going to get hooked, those of us that are on KU. But, yeah, give me KU plus 6.5. I'm a Jalen Daniels believer.
Did not see that island coming.
Jacob's got a Missouri island there.
I didn't see that coming.
I'm surprised with you. You're a Missouri guy, right? Like you're from Missouri.
I'm a journalist first and foremost.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, it's more than just football. This rivalry is. I mean, there is deep seated hatred between these two teams.
How long is the contract on this thing for them?
6 years.
I thought it was 2 years.
How long is it? Six years?
Maybe it's 2 years. Maybe okay, I'm not a journalist.
I don't know. I know they'll play each other for a while.
Good.
So that'll be good.
We'll go on after that, too.
I'll do my journalistic research. How about that?
All right.
Let's jump over to the NFL now that we have the college big games out of the way. We're going to pick the Chiefs game last. And so let's get to Sunday night football. We've got the afternoon game, one of the afternoon games. Lions on the road at the Packers. And this is crazy, fellas. The Packers at home are 2.5 point favorites against a team in their division. The Lions were the number one seed a season ago in the NFC. Jacob is going to start this. He's taking the points and the Lions. He likes the Lions on the road to cover that spread. I'm going Packers. I'm going to lay those points at home. I'm high on Green Bay this year. Green Bay is my pick for the Super Bowl team in the NFC. With the addition of Micah Parsons, assuming he's playing, I think he probably will with that shot he's going to get in his back. I think that that's going to be enough. I'm going to take the Packers at Lambeau at home and lay those points. How about you, TJ?
It is a tough line. It doesn't really make a bunch of sense that the Packers are favored over the Lions. I do think that it's a bit of a vibes pick. They got Micah Parsons, so they're going to go win at home week one. Everything's going well in Lambeau, in Titletown there. But I think that the Lions were just so injured last year down the stretch. I think the fact that they got a bit healthier, got their guys back, they're going to want to get out to a good start. So I think they're going to win this game, cover that spread.
Brandon?
It is a four-year contract, 25, 26, okay. And 31, 32.
All right.
So there's the journalism for the day. And then my sports pick for the day, it's going to be the Lions. I think they have a lot to prove, losing both their coordinators. They're healthy. I think they're going to do just enough. They might lose by a point, but that's okay because we cover.
Paul, what do you think? You're the last one.
You know something? You guys know I love the Lions. I've loved them ever since Hard Knocks. You know I love Dan Campbell, too.
We know. We know.
I'm going to take the Packers.
All right.
That made no sense. That's okay.
That's okay. So we've got a split crew there.
That was meant to make no sense for you.
That's what I love about
it. The psychological games that I'm playing with you, and you haven't figured it out yet.
I haven't.
Let's go to the Sunday night matchup, the primetime game, the Ravens on the road at Buffalo. The Ravens are laying 1.5. Buffalo, they are home underdogs in this game. Jacob is going to – no, I'm going to start this one. I'm going to take the Bills. If you're going to give me points at Buffalo, give me the Bills. Like, when are we going to see Buffalo as an underdog? I know it's against the Ravens. Give me the Bills. I'm going to take those points. TJ, how about you?
Yeah, whenever I first picked this game, it was the other way around. It's completely flipped. It started off as the Ravens as road dogs, and now they're favored on the road. I don't know what that says, but I still think I might lean towards the Ravens in this one. I'm always big on Lamar Jackson. I'm always big on the Ravens. But, you know, I don't know. It's really a pick 'em. I don't really know. I'm just going to go with the Ravens just because I always pick the Ravens, I feel like.
Brandon, how about you?
That tells me the big money, the sharps are on the Ravens. I think there's a little bit of Bills regression coming, and I am also on the Ravens.
All right, Paul?
It's an interesting game. I mean, after all, this game's in Buffalo. I get it. And the Ravens coming in, they're good. Got a great quarterback. Both got great quarterbacks. I'll tell you what. At home in Buffalo, I like the Bills. I'm going to go ahead and take the Bills. I'm going to take the Bills.
Take those points.
Yep.
Jacob agrees with you. He's taking the Bills and the points as well in that matchup. We've got a couple of minutes left. We've got time to make this final pick in this segment. It's the game that we're all paying attention to tonight in Brazil. The Chiefs are 3-point favorites against the Chargers. It's within a field goal, TJ. You can go first. What do you think?
I think the Chiefs are going to get this done. I think it's a really big Chiefs year. It's going to be weird without Rashee Rice, but the offensive line is better. They're going to score big points, take the over. Chiefs are going to cover.
Brandon.
I'll be on the under, but I think that the Chiefs, it's probably going to be a push, so it's not going to matter to anybody, but give me the Chiefs.
Paul, what do you think?
Well, you know, something, first time out, I have Brazil. What does that do to this game? It makes me wonder. Sometimes these kind of games are wacky. It affect one team. The travel of all this stuff will affect one team more than the other. We don't know about that kind of stuff. But you know something? This is we need another Super Bowl. I think just because they're the Chiefs, I'm going to take the Chiefs. That's good enough.
Jacob has also picked the Chiefs in this game. I'm kind of with you, Brendan. I think there's a really good likelihood this game ends in a push. I think it ends up being a field goal game. I hate the fact that it's at 2.5, or that it's not at 2.5. It's at 3, which I don't love that, but it is what it is. Has anybody picked the Chargers? Is everybody on the Chiefs?
We're all on the Chargers. We're all on the Chiefs. The Chargers are available.
I'm going to take that island. Give me the Chargers. I got to do it. I mean, I would love, obviously, for the Chiefs to win. Just for the island, I've got to take the Chargers in that game. It's going to be a big one. Those are our picks for the week. We picked the three top college games, the three top NFL games of the weekend as well.
I went 0-6 last week.
You went 0-6 last week. We're going to talk some high school football. High school football coverage on Sports Daily is brought to you by Zintex. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zintex Remodeling Group. That's Zintex.com. TJ, we are getting geared up and ready for week one of the high school football season around the metro, around the state. There's not a whole lot we know about a ton of different teams, and we haven't had any results in the books yet, but what are you guys over at Catch It Kansas paying attention to the most here at week one?
There you go. There's a pretty good slew of games week one. It should be an awesome week one. We're going to learn a lot about a lot of teams. There's a lot of really good teams a year ago that graduated a lot of guys, but there's a lot of guys that are stepping up into big roles. There's a lot of underclassmen that I'm excited to see what they're going to do as seniors, juniors and seniors this year. So I'm really excited about what we're going to have. We got a couple penciled in for our game of the week, other games we're watching. We got about 9 or 10 different games tonight for everybody on the Catch a Kansas show. So going to be a busy night, but should be awesome.
Brandon, I know that over the last few weeks you've been out and about, covering different programs and talking to different head coaches. Are there any programs in particular that in your conversations with the coaches or whatever, you feel like there's an attitude or an environment of potential state champions?
Yeah, this is going to be a shock to nobody, but Derby and Northwest.
Sure.
I'm sorry, Paul.
Shocking.
Wow,
but they both have real hot take over here. They both have things really going in the right direction. So much Division One, high-end Division Two, FCS level talent at both of those programs. I would not be surprised to see either of them playing in the final week of November. And then I think if you go down the road as well, Great Bend, they probably feel the same way about them. They start tonight at home against a good McPherson team, but they have Ian Premer, the number one player in the state for this year. And then the next class coming up, they also have the number one player in the state, Cooper Omont, a name that we talk a lot about on the Catch a Kansas show, but a name that people are going to learn more and more about over the next 2 years as well. So I think those three teams might have some of the best talent in the entire state.
Paul, you're back on the sidelines again for another season with East High School. You guys play Heights tonight at South. A lot of preparation goes into it. I always love getting your thoughts before a season starts because you're going through practices, you're getting the team ready to go. What is it like to get ready for another high school football season?
It's been real interesting this particular summer. By the way, this is probably the coolest summer for the preseason for a preseason I've ever experienced.
It means we're due in about 3 weeks for a terrible
fall. I think that might be the case. You might be right on that one, that's for sure. But it's an interesting season because we hear things. There's going to be some teams in the City League, which I really love the City League as well as you guys do. I think South might be one of those surprise teams, guys. They might pop up. They've got some players coming back. Mm-hmm. Who were pretty talented to start with, and now with another year of coaching, another year of seasoning, they're going to be one of those teams that may knock off some teams that we do not expect them to beat. So I think that's really exciting. Of course, Northwest, how many Division One signees are they up to?
Like nine or eleven, nine, twelve.
Yeah. What is it?
They have 9 with Division One offers
already. There you go. So and there'll probably be another one or two coming up. They're so talented, you don't even know. It's almost a crying shame. 2 more and they have a whole starting 11, won't they? Of Division One kids, they're going to be off the charts. And are they going to be a head and shoulders above everybody else? I don't know. Maybe. Could be. Might be. Any given Friday. We'll just see what happens. Capon's going to be good. East is going to be good. Are there question marks with East of where I coach? Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. Everybody that follows high school football knows, high school football is a funny thing from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
Kids come back. Some kids work harder than others. Weight room stuff. There's all kinds of variables as to how you come back and improve. But the City League is going to have some surprises. South is going to be one of those surprises. I believe South is going to be pretty good. They're going to be up there with at least with the East, Capon, and South. That's going to be that little level below Northwest. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to, you know, try to fool anybody. Northwest, the cream de la cream.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
what
I,
they are.
I know
that's
it's
what they are.
I know it's a little bit later on in the season, but I'm really excited that the Holy War is back downtown again at Equity Bank Park, Capon and Carroll. That's always an incredible matchup, and I'm glad that it's, you know, smack dab in the middle of the city. But TJ, going back to you for week number one, you said that there were a couple of matchups that you guys have circled and penciled in. What are the big games and the big storylines you guys are going to be covering tonight on the Catch at Kansas show?
Yeah, game of the week, we got Rachel Hylum going down to Derby, as Brandon was talking about. They got a really fun one week one. This kind of became a thing 2 years ago. The Derby didn't have a week one opponent, and Hayes didn't have a week one opponent. They ended up pairing up against each other and making that 2.5-hour drive, probably 3 hours from Derby, honestly, back and forth. Derby went there last year. Hayes coming to Panther Stadium this year. Hayes went all the way to the state championship game last year in 5A. They bring back Colton Lynn, their star running back. They've got the number one player in the state in 2028, I think is the right number there. Gus Corsair, their offensive lineman. Hayes is a really good team. That's going to be a really good test for Derby week one. Another one Brandon's going to tonight, Wichita Collegiate going down to Wellington. Wellington has gotten better every single year. They had two stud seniors last year in Dusty Bannister and Carter Burnett. Those two graduate, but they bring back quite a few starters on that team. Their coach is awesome, Jeremiah Meeks. I love Jeremiah Meeks. Collegiate, always really good. A.J. Batiste, their wide receiver, just got his first Division I offer. Sebastian Hines-Turner's back for Collegiate. Those are going to be awesome games. What's the other one? Capon and Andover week one is going to be a lot of fun as well. Capon returns a ton. Andover was a team last year that we saw take a bunch of steps forward but lose a lot of really close games. So they're looking to get over that hump. Capon hoping to get back to the level that they were when they went on to the 5A state championship game. So as I was saying, a lot of really good games tonight.
TJ, for viewers that want to tune in to the Catch at Kansas show, I know late tonight you guys will have a recap of all of that. So for people that want to watch that, how can they check it out?
Yeah, we got a whole bunch coming your way. It's probably some of the biggest coverage that we're going to do the past couple of years, I think. You know, we've got live coverage. Brandon and Rachel will be out at their games of the week doing all that stuff starting at 4:30 all the way up until kickoff, basically. And then following the games, we're going to have coverage tonight, 10:35 on the KSCW channel, cable number 5, channel 33 for everybody else. So 30-minute high school sports show. We're going to break down some of our favorite games, get a live report from Derby, and tell you everything that you need to know about anything you may have missed. And then we'll have recaps and everything on catchingkansas.com.
All right. We also have a brand new show here on KFH that will debut tonight. It's the Kansas High School Scoreboard Show that's statewide, so you can get statewide scores. That will be debuting here on KFH tonight. At 10 o'clock is when that will go. Now, if the Royals game runs late, it might be preempted a little bit, but the plan is to air that at 10 o'clock tonight. The Kansas High School Scoreboard Show on KFH is brought to you by Zintex. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zintex Remodeling Group, Zintex.com. Fellas, with the time we have left in this final segment, other than our pick segment a few minutes ago, we really haven't talked much today, at least about KU Missouri, K-State Army. So with the time that we have left very quickly, Brandon, I'll start with you. KU Missouri, you're going to Columbia. What are you looking forward to most in this matchup?
One, I'm looking for poise and discipline. Can they go on the road? Can they keep their heads cool? Can they not turn the ball over? Can they not commit dumb penalties that turn third and longs into first downs? We haven't seen KU put in that position this year, but if we know Lance Leipold, that's going to be the one thing that grinds his gears, is just beating yourself. Jalen Daniels, he's going to be cool around him. Jeff Grimes isn't here to ruin the fun.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've beaten Jeff Grimes down these last 3 weeks. I'm sorry. But yeah, can they just not do things to beat themselves? If so, I think they have a great chance to go on the road and upset the Tigers.
Paul, you said in our pick segment that you've played at Missouri before. You've played in that stadium. Yeah. It is the definition of a hostile environment, especially when Kansas comes to play there. What are you most looking forward to in this matchup?
Well, here's the thing. We all know that KU is pretty good in their special players, their receivers, their quarterback, obviously. We think they can run the football. My question is, when you step up into a game with an SEC team, you got to be physical. How good are they up front? We're going to find out. I'm going to watch most of that game. And when I watch that game, my eye is going to be, I want to kind of watch it and see which way the offensive line goes for KU. Does it go forward? Is it stalemated? Does it go back? How about the defensive line? Are they able to take the aggressive offensive line for an SEC team and neutralize it and play football. That's what I want to see, physicality. That's the thing to watch. The team that's the most physical in that particular game, because both teams got good skill kids, I think the team that's most physical in that game wins that game.
And this game also hasn't been played on campus since 2006. Because it was at Arrowhead all those years to end it. We're talking 20 years in the making. It's going to be awesome.
TJ, I know you and I talked about it in depth yesterday on the program. Your final thoughts on the KU-Missouri matchup tomorrow?
Yeah, as Brandon was saying, I'm just really excited to see Jalen Daniels. It feels like so far, it's a small sample size, but this feels like the 2022 Jalen Daniels, not the 2024 Jalen Daniels. This is going to be his first real test against an SEC defense. I think he's playing awesome. I think he could be poised for an awesome year. So I'm going to watch the quarterback play. A lot of questions about Mizzou's, but I think it's a great opportunity for Jalen Daniels to put on a show and get that national recognition back pointed as well.
I'll go back to you, TJ, with the couple minutes we have left. Real quick, K-State Army again. We talked about it in depth yesterday. There are significant challenges right now in Manhattan. How do they get this done against Army in a decisive way?
I think what everybody's talking about that I think would take this team leaps and bounds further. I know Avery Johnson has put up a lot of great stats, but the way that he has been playing, the way that they've been having him play, is just kind of limiting this team. You saw what he did his freshman year when he ran for 5 touchdowns against Texas Tech. A tweet that popped up from our friend Emaw Caleb that Brandon and I love so much. He said, I hope that Avery watched Jalen Hurts last night, because that's what we need to be seeing from Avery, the way that he can run and throw the ball. I hope they open it up a little bit more. If they do that, they can cover this spread easily. They could be a real Big 12 contender, I think. But as it sits right now, I don't think they can.
Yeah, they got to get unlocked a little bit. And Paul, you know, that game against North Dakota, K-State should have lost that game. Let's just be real honest about it. They should have lost that game to an FCS team. You've been on the sidelines. You've been in locker rooms. How do you get a team to bounce back after such a disappointing outing?
Well, that's a good question, because right now I don't think there's anybody in the state of Kansas that's a fan of Kansas State that is thinking to themselves, my goodness, we're a contender for a Big 12 championship. Nobody's thinking that. So that's a really good question. But I guess it's baby steps. You take them one game at a time, or as a coach would think, we're going to take one practice at a time. You bounce back. You do the things in practice. You show intensity in practice. You show concentration. I mean, it's baby steps, because right now this is a team that's not confident. Yeah. I don't think this is a team that understands just how good they can be. I really don't think they have the confidence within the body of this team to say, we're pretty good, you know, here's what we ought to be doing. This team is struggling to find their identity right now. And it is a team with no identity at this point.
Brandon, I'll tell you, there's going to be rioting in the streets if K-State has the same kind of outing tomorrow as they did last week.
Yeah, there's only going to be one guy smiling I'm not saying he's rooting for it, but Jerome Tang will have a huge weight off of his shoulders if K-State does lose this weekend, because all the attention will turn away from him and the setbacks that his program has had the last 2 years. If the Wildcat football team loses this weekend, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to take a step forward, be able to exhale a little bit. It'll be a little bit comfortable. Again, I picked Army to cover the spread still, but it's still a long season. We have another 3 months of breaking down.
I did not see that coming.
I think a lot of K-State Twitter's
talking about this. It's Fort Riley Day in the Bill. Yeah. Playing Army. There's got to be something there.
Yeah, two major matchups this weekend that we'll recap on Monday's show. Well, there we go. A jam-packed Friday edition of Sports Daily. So much going on. A full slate of college football, NFL. We're officially back. The Royals back in action this weekend against the Twins in a must-win series. And the High School Football Scoreboard Show at 10 o'clock tonight on KFH. A repeat airing of the High School Football Scoreboard Show tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. K-State football against Army on KFH, coverage at 4 o'clock. And then Sunday night football here on KFH, the Ravens at the Bills. A busy weekend. We'll be back here on Monday to recap all of it. Brandon, it was a fun day, a busy, busy show.
Busy, yeah. We didn't have much time to breathe, but hey, there's no rest for the wicked. Let's not leave the couch. Let's have a weekend.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll see you back here on Monday for the entire crew. Max, Brandon, TJ, Paul, Jacob, I'm Tommy. We'll see you then.